Grace, greetings, and welcome to another Deeper Daily Podcast, also called the DDP. I'm Paul White, and I'm glad you're with me today. I want to encourage you to go back and pick up the last few days, the last two specifically, as we've started our journey here in Romans 5 into the topic of reconciliation. We dealt with Romans 5, verses 10 and 11 as a topic yesterday. We'll go back when we're done with the topic and deal with them contextually as verses, as a spot within Romans. Right now we're dealing with them as a subject within the greater framework of the New Testament, the framework of reconciliation specifically. And I also received a question last week or so, a couple weeks ago, when did this thing start? Because I want to get caught up on all of Romans. And so I went back. I don't do a very good job of taking notes on what I say on a specific day. I probably should. But I did go back and find that I started the very introduction to Romans in the middle of October. Specifically, I think it was the 17th of October, 2016. So if you use the app or the website or whatever program you're using to pick up our podcast, you can go back. In fact, podbean.com is a great place to do that. And you can go back and find that back in the middle of October and get caught up. Back in those programs, we were still doing 5 minutes a day, so it wouldn't take you quite as long to catch up as we're now doing the 8 to 10 minute versions, or however long we want to talk. All right. Romans 5 and 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. I told you we're going to go to the other two parallel passages of reconciliation, and we'll start with the 2 Corinthians 5. In my journeys in the message of grace, dealing with this topic all over the world, from time to time, the Holy Spirit will prompt me to do an exhaustive, semi-exhaustive look at the context of passages. I was in Mississippi several weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit led me, I felt very strongly, into the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and I stayed there for the opening service. And then on the second service of the next day, we started the third chapter after doing a little review of what the second chapter was. And then I stayed on that third chapter for, I think, two or three straight sermons before we moved on to a little bit of the fourth chapter. I like to do that if I can. I did 2 Corinthians 5 at a meeting in Asia. I think we were in Malaysia, in fact, several years ago at a camp. And we broke down a lot of the specifics of the fifth chapter. And I can get so wrapped up and locked in doing that that I don't even, sometimes I think I could stay there for a year. Because I absolutely love this topic of reconciliation. And I think it's because it shouts so loudly in my spirit as the call and mandate of who we are. People ask me, what do you feel like your niche is, or what do you do in ministry? What do you preach? And my response is, I believe I'm called to remove grave clothes from resurrected people. Christ is the resurrector. He brings Lazarus out of the grave, but he turns to the crowd and said, loose him and let him go. And I feel like I'm one of those guys in the crowd that was told to let Lazarus go. And I go into churches and all over the country, and I see resurrected people covered in grave clothes. They don't feel close to God. They don't feel worthy of God. They don't feel approved by God. They don't feel forgiven by God. They feel guilty. They feel shameful. They feel as if they have to work. They feel as if they're not enough. They feel as if they lack. They feel stressed out. They feel full of sin. These are children of God. These are not non-believers. These are believers. If the believer is in this state, how are we going to touch the world? Well, the answer is we're not. And all we're really trying to do then, I came up in ministry trying to get the world saved. And all I was really doing, looking back, was dragging people, tooth and toenail, kicking and screaming, into this religion. And I got a few. I got a few. And some of them fell by the wayside. And some of them are still in church. They're not very free. And I live in regret of that. I've had to get over that and be released from the condemnation of it. And some of those that live in it and are in church and now working, quote unquote, working for God, don't want anything to do with me. My ministry is different than the ministry that brought them in. And it's not that I don't want to see people saved. It's that I don't want to see anybody trapped in a life that's not life. So I've resigned myself to ministering reconciliation to redeemed people, because redeemed people have forgotten they are reconciled. Here's our passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love that creation. The old King James says he's a new creature, but the Greek is not just the creature, but a created being. Christ literally unleashed a new species of humanity onto the planet at his resurrection. He was the first fruit of it. And all of those who came into Christ are birthed into that same human family. This is an entirely different... I know this is not scientifically sound, what I'm about to say, but it's... take it spiritually. It's an entirely different DNA strand, so to speak. We're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Don't take that to mean that if you're in Christ, you'll never sin again. Paul's point of reference here is not that he'll never sin again, but we don't live for ourselves anymore. That's what and we don't regard people according to the flesh anymore. That's verses 15 and 16. So our judgment is not based upon what people do anymore. Our judgment is based upon Christ. Old things have passed away. What's the old thing? Judging people based upon performance. So that we're done with that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old way is gone. The new way has come. So don't believe the condemning lie that says, well, if you haven't stopped doing the old things, then don't call yourself a new creature. That's ridiculous. Stopping the old things is not the point of Christianity. It's a beautiful byproduct of Christianity, but it's not the root. The root is not doing better. The root is Christ is done perfectly on our behalf. So being a new creation in Christ is a done deal, not something you're working towards. 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God. God is over everything. It's his now. Christ has completely reconciled all of it back to God. We're going to find that when we get to our Colossians version of reconciliation, when he says all things in heaven and earth have been reconciled to God. So all of it belongs to God, and man belongs to God because Christ has reconciled man to God and then given to you and me the ministry of doing the same thing. Not the ministry of doing what Jesus did, but ministering to people what Jesus has done. What has Jesus done? He has reconciled the human family back to God. That's what we ought to be telling people. So this is why I have accepted the call in my own ministry to pull grave clothes off of resurrected people, because I have a ministry of reconciliation and I'm dealing with a bunch of people that don't know they're reconciled. So if I'm at A and I want to get to C, I got to go through B. A, I got a ministry of reconciliation and I want people to know it, but I'm in a room full of people that don't know it. So I got to talk to them about being reconciled to God, that they are reconciled to God. What does that look like? That's verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. I'm going to stop there because there's so much I want to say and I don't want to go 10 more minutes on this podcast. I'll do that tomorrow. We'll talk about what that amazing 19th verse means. I hope you have a fantastic day, and I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.